In a world where one man has seen every movie, there's one woman who's seen hardly any. Together, this unlikely duo must review all the best films she's never seen.
Now the time is here for a man to spread fear.
Starring Jack Spade as the hero we didn't ask for, and Leanne Foster as the damsel who doesn't know shit. Huntsville Home Video, now playing.
Iron Man, does whatever an iron can. Is he strong? Yeah, son, he's made out of iron. Look out, here comes the Iron Man.
You did not!
Back on our bullshit for phase two of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Those sweet, soothing sounds that you just heard, provided by yours truly, Jack Spade, the pure vocal gold that you're going to hear very soon, provided by Leanne Foster. How are you?
Oh, I'm good. How are you?
I'm good.
That really took me by surprise, and I loved every second of it.
And eventually, you're going to be such a Marvel fan, you're going to know that that was actually...
Spider-Man.
Oh, shit! Shut it down! Shut it down!
I do know some things.
Wow.
I don't know much, but I do know some things.
Yeah, that took me by surprise.
I know. You just did a full 360 in your chair.
I did.
In your swivel chair. You just swung right on around.
I am taken literally aback. Huh.
I'm so glad I could do that today.
Wow.
You got me, I got you. We are tied. One for one, my friend.
Turnabout is fair play. Bravo, Foster.
I just Uno'd you. I just reversed that.
You did. I came in for the hook. You hit me with the body shot.
Woo!
Nicely done.
You dropped your guard, man.
I did.
came in with that left hook.
Man, Icarus flew too close to the sun today.
Done got melted.
Woo! Boy, howdy.
What a fun start we're off to.
Man, already batting 1,000 today. And,
wow.
And we are sponsored now.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
We do have a sponsor.
We do. Underboss Photography. Local here to Huntsville.
Yeah.
The town in which Huntsville Home Video is recorded.
It's in the name.
It's in the name. yeah, Underboss Photography, dude named Michael Williams, the proprietor of that business. Awesome photography company. The man does landscapes. He does awesome pet photography. Check out his work. Check him out on Facebook, on Instagram at Underboss Photography. You can check out his links on our social meds. And then you can follow him on his social meds. Awesome veteran-owned business, Underboss Photography. Big fan of the podcast. Wanted to be a part of it. We are happy to have him a part of it.
We are happy to have him a part of it. I feel like this just makes us legit.
Oh, we're, yeah.
Like, I don't know about you, but I feel the power going to my head.
Yeah, right?
Right now.
Like, the ego just going.
The ego. I can't get out of this room now.
Well, let me knock you down a peg.
Oh, shit. What did I do now?
His business is named after a movie. Can you figure out which movie it is?
Underboss?
Yeah.
Well, it was either Underboss or Photography.
Well, no, it's not. It's not. The name of the movie is not Underboss, but like, like his logo is very clearly inspired by a movie, and it's a classic movie. It's one of the what people will consider one of the greatest movies of all times.
I don't know.
It's The Godfather. Have you seen The Godfather?
I have seen The Godfather.
Have you?
Did I miss it? I guess I wasn't paying attention.
That's okay.
This is not a good way to start off a sponsorship.
Well, he knows that I know my shit, and he knows that you don't.
Well, understandable.
We'll get
by
there.
Episode, whatever this is, people should know that already.
But
that
hey, Spider-Man.
Spider-Man.
You got that going.
I only get one.
But it was a huge one.
Yeah.
Like, it was good. It was the tops. And if that's the best thing we get out of today's episode, then hey, we started strong.
Right.
You know, there are people that have not started as strong and finished way shittier.
Right, exactly.
So we're already ahead of them.
But we are a downhill disaster.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's going to be another album or a song off an album.
Downhill Disaster.
Pussy Galore's new single. Downhill Disaster.
We'll make it our opening track too, because the rest of the album will be shit.
We had a rap song and now we're back to our bluegrass roots.
Yep. We're all over the place.
Holy shit. We're here for Iron Man, by the way.
We are here for Iron Man. It is month two, phase two of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Mm-hmm. Previously on Huntsville Home Video, we left with the Avengers. That was the end of phase one.
Yeah.
You loved that one.
Loved it.
I loved
all of them except for, I didn't care for the Hulk.
You weren't really on board for that one. Yeah. And that one was kind of just wedged in there.
Right,
but
right.
Whatever. You like the Mark Ruffalo Hulk better?
I did like him better. Yeah.
Like him more as a supporting guy than his own?
Yeah, I don't need to see a Hulk movie.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So we wrapped up Avengers, and now we get to phase two. Mm-hmm. So what we'll be doing this month is we'll review all six movies in the phase two. And like we mentioned last week, we're doing things a little bit different. So today, Monday, if you're listening to the podcast as it drops.
Which you should.
Which
by
you
the way,
should.
If you're not, what the fuck are you doing with your
I life? Mean, really, you know, you're going to be getting all these spoilers throughout the week mm-hmm. that people keep bitching on the internet about.
Right.
So about movies.
Are people bitching about us?
No.
Or about other
that
spoilers?
That was spoiler, like a spoiler rant
I got
in
it.
General.
I got it.
Picking it up?
I'm picking up what you're putting down.
To your credit, it was a poorly conceived joke.
No, it wasn't. No.
I should have fleshed that one out better.
No,
that
you're good.
No, Foster, that one's on me.
Okay, well, I'll let you have it.
All right, thank you. So today, Monday, we're dropping our Iron Man 3 review. On Thursday, we'll be dropping our Dark World review. Mm-hmm. And so we're doing two a week. We got six movies to review this month. We're not going to double feature them like we did for a couple last month. We're just going to see if you love us enough to listen to us twice in a week.
Double the gooey goodness.
You want to back that one up?
Yeah. That was poorly conceived. How about we're going point for point. You get a bad point, I get a bad point.
All right, all right.
All right, both bad marks.
We both have a fault.
See? Downhill.
Downhill.
Downhill fast.
Jeez-em crow.
Downhill disaster.
So
Iron Man.
So Iron Man 3. This was the first movie announced in Phase 2. And so after the Avengers became one of the biggest movies of all times, mm-hmm. of course, you know, like Marvel sees that money. They see those dollar signs.
They don't want that check.
Yep. They want that paper. They're trying to get that smoke, as the kids on the street say.
That's
nowadays.
A thing?
That's a thing, yeah.
Smoke is money?
I want to get that smoke. I don't know. I honestly don't know what it means. I just heard it and it sounds cool. We want that smoke.
We can put that in a song.
We absolutely should. Yeah. And then we should, you know, drink Coke and be less white. Because that's a thing.
Oh,
so
shit.
Iron Man. Marvel announces phase two of the cinematic universe, and they do this at Comic-Con. We've talked about this before. You know, Comic-Con is a yearly event with the exception of last year.
Right.
Where 150,000 screaming, sweaty, passionate nerds.
We heard they smell, or I learned that they smell.
Yeah, a little funky. Mm-hmm. So at Comic-Con, when you go there, there's a gigantic hall called Hall H. And this is where they do all of their big movie reveals. So, like, all the studios will come out. They'll show their projects that are coming up. Mm-hmm. And really, where else would you show movies like this, like announce movies like this, but to that fan base?
Right, of course.
Of course you're going to get passionate, just ravenous reactions to these things, right?
Mm-hmm. And smelly.
And smelly, yes. They Hall H is properly ventilated, I would hope. I've never been. Never want
to
go.
You've never been to Comic-Con?
I've been to comic conventions.
But not to actual Comic-Con.
But not San Diego Comic-Con. That's,
oh, okay.
That's the big one.
Oh, it's only in San Diego.
That particular
okay.
Comic-Con. Yeah, so like, I mean, other comic conventions, you know, people call
right.
them like a Comic-Con
we
or whatever.
We have them here.
But there's one true major player, and that's okay. the San Diego Comic-Con.
I got it now.
Now you're learning things.
Now I've learned.
Yeah. Hall H, little gooey, if you
no.
will. Yeah. But people will basically get to Comic-Con on the first day, and they'll get checked in, and then they will start to camp out in front of Hall H so that they can get in and get a seat for these movie panels.
I'm not camping out for anything.
Right?
Okay? I don't even like to camp outdoors.
Okay.
I don't want to camp anywhere.
Have you ever, because back in the day before you could buy movie tickets online, mm-hmm. you would have, in some cases for big event movies, you would have to camp out in front of movie. You've never done that?
No, we don't do that.
Okay.
No, I'll wait till it's calmed down or I'll watch it on the pay-per-views.
On the pay-per-views. Jesus. I suppose at the rate you've seen movies, that doesn't really surprise me.
No.
I've camped out for several movies.
Really?
Yeah.
I wouldn't even, concerts are my thing, and I wouldn't even camp out for bands.
I've done that before where again, before you could buy tickets online, you had to be in line
right.
at, you know, the venue box office or wherever to mm-hmm. get your tickets. I've done that before. And then they wow. started doing that bullshit where you would be the first one there.
Yeah.
But then they start giving you numbers.
Mm-hmm. Which doesn't make any sense to me at all.
No, it's like you're the first in line. You were here like 7 hours earlier, and now you're number 97.
Right. Even if I wasn't the first one in line, that person should get that ticket.
Right.
If they want to have that level of dedication, they should get the ticket.
You want to know the coolest concert I ever camped out for?
What's the coolest concert you ever camped out for?
This was amazing. This was an awesome experience all around.
Okay.
So in, I think it was 2015, Jack White announced that he was stopping touring for a while.
Right.
And he's like, before I do, I need to play the states that I haven't played yet. And he had not played North Dakota. He played across the street in Moorhead, which was in Minnesota. So he played literally across the river at a small bar like years ago. So he announced, I'm going to play, I think it was like 3 or 4 shows. Mm-hmm. You couldn't buy tickets online. You had to get them at the venue. The shows weren't announced in advance. Tickets were $3. So he did 2 shows, and again, I forget what states, but there was a rumor that he was going to be playing the Fargo Theater in North Dakota, and before anything was even officially announced, me and some of the people that were working at the radio station with me at the time and a bunch of our friends, we got to the Fargo Theater at like 2 in the morning,
mm-hmm.
and there was already 15 people camped out waiting in line.
Okay.
And we're like, this is going to fucking happen. So we're in line. We were there until, I think it was like 8, not, no, it was like probably 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock. And then they're like, all right, tickets go on sale. Like Jack White's coming to Fargo tonight. And the way they did it was you would go in, you had to pay $3 cash. You could only buy 1 ticket and they mm-hmm. give you a wristband and they would put it on your wrist like tight.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like no taking this off. And mm-hmm. they're like, if this was tampered with in any way, if this was fucked with, you're not getting into the show. We just want this to be an amazing experience for everyone.
Yeah.
Like they banned all camera phones mm-hmm. and video recording devices. And it was actually recorded, like Jack White himself recorded, professionally recorded it for the music service Tidal. Remember Tidal?
Yeah.
Yeah, because he was moving over to that service or whatever. So that it was recorded. It's on YouTube now if you want to watch it, like Jack White Fargo. Amazing experience. It was an amazing show. It was like this old-timey theater in Fargo. And it was the last up until, you know, I think like 3 years later, like Jack White just kind of stopped performing. But
mm-hmm.
what we thought was going to be Jack White's final performance for a while.
Okay, I take back everything I said. I would have totally camped out for Jack White.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And
I
there
love
was,
Jack White.
There was none of that bullshit, like trying to get online, trying to deal with scalper bots, trying to deal with scalpers.
Yeah.
Yeah. None of that shit.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And $3 a ticket.
$3. And
that's
by the
so
time,
cool.
So the Fargo Theater, I think, holds like 700 people, maybe not even that much.
Mm-hmm.
And there was probably 5,000 to 6,000 people standing in line.
Wow.
Like by the time they opened the doors, that line went like wrapped around downtown Fargo. It was insane.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it
That's
has nothing
so cool.
to do with Iron Man 3.
That's okay. It's an awesome story. $3, Iron Man 3. It all ties together.
But, oh, there are the numbers.
The threes.
There are the numbers.
There it is.
Shit. Where are the Illuminati?
Oh, shit.
Tony Stark is in the Illuminati now. So Comic-Con, people camping out at Comic-Con
That's
is how
where we
got
were.
On that side. It all comes full circle. So when Marvel announced Phase 2, mm-hmm. you know, they were coming off of The Avengers, a movie that no one ever thought we would see, a movie that made $1 billion. They're like, all right, what movies are going to make us $1 billion more dollars.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're going to start with Iron Man 3.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't know that we were going to get Iron Man 3. Robert Downey Jr. said he was very happy with Iron Man's 1 and 2. He was going to be coming back for the Avengers movies. But as we touched on briefly last week, he's like, hey, you let my boy Shane Black write and direct this movie. I'm in for Iron Man 3.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they did.
Yeah.
They also announced Thor the Dark World, which we'll be talking about on Thursday. Captain America the Winter Soldier. Cannot fucking wait for that one.
I'm so excited about that.
Guardians of the Galaxy. I think that will be your favorite MCU movie. I think you're going to love the shit out of that one.
Okay.
And then they hyped up Avengers 2, which at the end of Avengers 1, we thought, oh shit, we're getting Thanos. But we got Age of Ultron announced, which I'm sure you know nothing about. And you're going to learn about.
Is Ultron a person?
Ultron is a person.
Oh, okay.
Sort of.
Oh.
You'll learn more about that later this month on Phase 2 of Marvel Month here at Huntsville Home Video. And then Ant-Man was going to be after that. So some solid entries into the Marvel Cinematic Universe. But Iron Man 3 is what we are trying to talk about today.
We're trying to get there.
So, oh, actually, before we get there.
Oh, God, thank God. It's like, damn.
No, Iron Man 3, we're talking about it. It came out 2013 to a crowd that was ready for more MCU. Mm-hmm. I was ready for it. I showed up decked out in all my Captain America gear because fuck Tony Stark.
Aww, come on. You don't have to be that rude about it.
Well, at this point in the comic books, Civil War was happening, which is a movie in the MCU, which doesn't, it's way different than the movie than to the comic books. They're way different.
Right.
And one of the marketing pieces to the Captain America, Civil War comic book was Team Cap, Team Iron Man. Like, which side were you on? Oh. Clearly, Team Cap.
Right.
My godson, my best friend's Team Iron Man, lost some friends over that one. Mm-hmm. Still salty about it to this day, but whatever. I chose, history says that I was on the right side.
Oh, does it?
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll talk more about
that. Will we get there?
Eventually, because we're still not talking about Iron Man 3. So, Iron Man 3 comes out. I am ready for it. I go see it. A packed fucking theater, like a hot crowd, like not quite Avengers level hot, like we talked about on that podcast, which you should review at HuntsvilleHomeVideo.com, but still a crowd that was ready for more Iron Man. So sitting in your place last night, not in a theater filled with people,
mm-hmm.
were you ready for more Iron Man?
I'm always ready for more Iron Man. Are you kidding? Because I am Team Iron Man. We just got to call it. I've been flopping back and forth. I'm done here. I'm on Team Iron Man.
Well, at least you're committed.
I'm committed now. I'm no more faulting.
All right. Well, you haven't seen Winter Soldier yet, so we'll see.
Okay. All right. Yes, I was ready for it. I personally really liked it.
Loved it?
Yeah.
Liked it or loved it?
I loved it.
Okay.
Yeah. Is it okay that I loved it?
Completely.
Okay. I thought it was really great.
Iron Man 3, as it came out, initially got some backlash, some hate from a lot of fans.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Right?
I don't understand why.
I'm sure you agree? Initially, yes, but in retrospect, no.
Okay.
I like what they've done. And we'll get into it
as it happens in the movie. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So we basically open the movie up. We've got a little bit of voiceover narration from our boy Tony Stark. We see the hall of armor.
Yeah, it's being blown up. We get a glimpse of what's going to happen. It all being blown up. And Tony is our narrator who says we don't realize the demons we create. And then we hop back to 1999. We're going to party like it's 1999. And the most 90s song pops up. I'm blue, da-ba-dee-da-ba-da.
God, I hated that song.
I still love it to this day.
Oh.
The other day it came on my XM radio and I was like, oh my God, yes, what a jam.
See, that song came out when I just got into radio.
Right. See, I was still a child. I'm also still a child. And so it's just as fun today as it was back in the day.
See, but there are certain songs from that time frame that give me a little PTSD.
Understandable.
You know, like when that song was played every like hour and a half.
No, I get it.
Yeah.
I'm ready to punch Kelly Clarkson in the fucking face.
Yeah.
We play way too much KC over there.
Oh, KC now? You KC?
If you can say BOC, I can say KC.
BOC
no
is
question.
So much cooler than KC.
I know that, but I'm just saying. I can abbreve if I want to.
One of those abbreves gave us the song Godzilla. The other one didn't.
Catch my breath.
So we're in 1999.
So anyways, we're in 1999.
Jesus.
And,
God damn it.
It's Switzerland New Year's, and Tony's partying it up like normal with this gal. They get in an elevator, and they're confronted by this stuttering, poor little nerd named Aldrich Killian.
Killian,
I'll get there. Left
it's,
out or not.
It's all good. It's all good.
And he's from the company AIM, which is Advanced Idea Mechanics, and he wants to talk to Tony. Tony says, I'll meet you in 5 on the roof. That never does happen.
So, quick side note, did you notice that he meets, what's his face, from Iron Man 1 in the lobby, or in the party? The dude that he was trapped in the cave with.
No.
Yeah, like when he's sitting there in the party and he's talking and someone comes and says, oh, Mr. Stark, and he introduces him to the Asian surgeon that was homeboy from the cave. And he's like, well, maybe I'll see you again soon, Mr. Stark.
Oh, my God. No, I'm so stupid. I totally missed that.
I only asked that because you were so heartbroken when he died in Iron Man 1. Spoilers.
I should remember people.
You should.
Missed it.
Wow. Okay.
God. And that, you know what? And I even thought to myself, I was like, there's things like, there's no big Easter eggs that I really pointed out in the movie. And I'm like, I probably missed some shit.
You missed one 30 seconds into the
God
movie.
God almighty. What
like
a fucking
the
idiot.
Biggest one.
I probably was trying to write notes or something. That's also a problem.
That's fair.
Yeah.
All right. So we're in the
well,
elevator.
Well, now I feel dumb. So we're in the elevator. never goes and meets Aldrich, but he does get in a room with this lady, Maya, who is working on this regenerating technology. And Happy's there with long hair, which is fantastic.
Great 90s do.
And she's talking about regeneration, but there's a glitch, and Happy tears off a piece of this ficus tree. And the glitch is that it blew up. It, like, regrew the leaf, but then it blew up.
And I love that during the explosion, Happy just, like, runs in and tackles Tony to protect him. And he thought it was, like, Y2K bugs that were going off.
Do you remember Y2K?
Sure do.
I remember having to go through, so what, I was 9?
Right.
And I remember having to go through emergency drills at my school and like, you had to get out the building. But then it was like, oh, I don't know if you should be outside the building. Like, it was a mess.
We are such simple creatures.
We are simple creatures. We can be steered any way that they want us to. Yeah. We all thought the world was ending.
Right.
Yeah.
Because of computer bugs.
Right. It can't go to 2000. It's made it to 1999, but 2000, that's ridiculous.
And I loved how even after it hit midnight in other areas of the world, like maybe you're too young to remember this, but when a lot of people were kind of glued to the news because they even if you weren't worried about it, you were still like, maybe
it could.
But when it started hitting midnight in other areas of the world and nothing had happened, and
is America. Okay.
Right.
This is America.
And then, yeah, other America. Like, I remember this vividly, like a news reporter was like, well, it's midnight in Australia and nothing has happened, but it hasn't come to America yet.
You mean the sunlight? It hasn't come to America yet?
I was like, okay, so, like, Australia's good.
Right.
Like, shout out to our Australian listeners. Would love to see the Sydney Opera House one day. It looks beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
But meanwhile, in America, well, the Australians are there. They got their shit figured out. But here in America, you know, we're the epicenter of everything. Fuck you.
We're trying to keep ratings as long as we can.
Right.
So it hasn't hit America yet.
We don't want you to have a festive, joyous occasion to bring in the new millennium. No, no, no. We want you worried and scared. That's how we keep our control on you.
Right, exactly.
You are free to do what we tell you.
We have gone back to They Live, which is the second episode of Huntsville Home Video.
Fantastic shout out.
Woo!
Fantastic callback.
I got one in, baby. Iron Man 3.
Iron Man 3.
So Tony is our narrator during all this. And again, he's talking about you don't realize the demons you create back in the day. And then we hit present day where we are testing out the Mark 42 so he can call the suit to him. He's got a little thing, in his arm? And he calls the suit to him. Not going very well.
No.
We don't have a good demonstration on that, but we do get him dancing to some Christmas music, which I thoroughly enjoyed.
Which is a Shane Black staple. Man loves him some Christmas movies.
Yes.
Christmas themes.
So he's testing out the Mark 42, and then we get interrupted by a message. The American airwaves have been taken over. Mm-hmm. We get this guy on TV. Some call him a terrorist. He thinks he's a teacher. He is the Mandarin, who I assume is differently portrayed here than in the comics.
Very much so. Mm-hmm. In the comics, the Mandarin is really an Asian stereotype.
Right.
And we talked about this when we did Iron Man 1. Originally, the Mandarin was supposed to be like the big villain.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, that did not end up being the case. They kind of figured out how to re-engineer him a little bit for mm-hmm. this movie, which initially I thought was amazing. Like, I love Ben Kingsley.
I do, too. I love his voice.
Yeah.
I love him. Yeah.
Such a talented dude. Played Gandhi. Did mm-hmm. not play Gandhi 2, as was seen in UHF, which you can also check out our review of at HuntsvilleHomeVideo.com. Just rife with shout-outs and callbacks
Look
today.
Look at us.
Yeah, love Ben Kingsley. Loved the choice for him as the Mandarin. Love how they kind of re-engineered him as, like, you know, a terrorist coming from that Afghanistan area.
Right, yeah.
Thought it was a great, great kind of reimagining mm-hmm. of the character.
We had touched on it before about the Mandarin in the comics. And so when he popped up in this movie, because I didn't know he was going to pop up there, from what I understood of him in the comics, I thought this was super cool as well. I thought it was a neat way to do it, a good way to get him in there and do it a different way.
Super cool, yeah.
Yeah.
And you get the little Ten Rings logo.
I saw that.
And he's got, you know, in the comics again, he has 10 rings. Mm-hmm. They all do different powers, different cool shit. We didn't get introduced to those yet.
Mm-hmm.
However, by the time we get to the end of this review, I will have some more Mandarin news for you.
Okay. All right. Awesome.
But we do get interrupted by the Mandarin. He's taken over the American airwaves, and he's here to teach some lessons.
Absolutely. He goes on a talk about how the Americans swooped in and killed the natives and took their land, and basically he went in and he attacked Ali al-Salem. I don't know if I'm saying that correctly.
Close enough.
I don't even know why I typed it out, to be honest with you. But he's talking about how he will do the same. You will never see him coming. That's the threat. And so now we've got to deal with this problem.
And I don't know about you, but I felt threatened.
I felt very threatened. It was really amazingly done.
I thought it was
that
so
felt so real.
It
and
did.
Just, yeah.
It did. And that was in a time when, you know, that footage was in the news.
Yeah.
You know, that was a thing. That was fresh on people's mind. And mm-hmm. the way that they portrayed him and the way Ben Kingsley, just with his cadence and that accent that kind of came
yep.
out, I'm like, God damn, I'm creeped out.
I was creeped out too, to be honest.
Well done.
So the president has to deal with this. So he sends in War Machine, but he's now called the Iron Patriot with a paint job.
Which, again, another Easter egg that you wouldn't have known, because that's from the comics.
Okay.
In the comics, there's a storyline wherein Norman Osborn, who is the Green Goblin, he ends up saving the world in, like, another comic book storyline.
Okay.
And as a result, he kind of moves up to prominence. He kind of becomes the head of S.H.I.E.L.D., or it's an agency called Hammer. And he kind of recreates the Avengers. And he takes the Iron Man suit, puts himself in it, calls it the Iron Patriot. Looks exactly like that.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
So when
cool.
when that movie was coming out and we saw all of these footage, you know, these photos of mm-hmm. Iron Patriot, we're like, what the fuck?
Mm.
And then it turned out to be nothing like it was in the comics. It was just, you know.
But a little nod.
A little nod, a little like a one and done thing. Because I don't think we ever see the Iron Patriot again in the movie. Spoilers. Sorry.
I definitely am like Tony and feel like War Machine's a better name.
Right. I do like how they explain it away. Like, well, it tested well with focus groups and
yes.
people like it better. And I'm like, oh.
Because that's some shitty American shit.
That yeah.
A focus group.
That is finger on the pulse right there.
Exactly.
Someone was consulted about that.
It's not as threatening. We don't need war, man. We stand for peace.
Right.
Yeah, fuck off.
We're patriots here. We know what patriots have done recently.
Right.
Fucking
that
mutts.
That word needs to not be thrown out as much as it's being thrown out.
Right.
I need that word to ski dat on the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
So because all this is happening, Tony actually meets with Rhodes And Rhodes reveals to Tony that there's actually been 9 bombings. The people only know about a couple, like 2 or 3, and they cannot identify the bomb. They cannot figure out what the device is that's blowing up. There's mm-hmm. no evidence of a bomb. And Tony leaves this meeting, and we get introduced to the fact that he's having some anxiety problems.
Yeah, he leaves the meeting after having an induced panic attack by a fucking child.
Yeah, well,
because kids suck.
Yeah, they fucking suck.
Kid comes up, asks him for an autograph. He's like, hey, how'd you get out of that wormhole? Mm-hmm. Gives him a fucking panic attack. What are you doing to Tony Stark? Loved You in a Christmas Story, a reference that I know you don't get.
I got it, because I knew what he looked like. I was like, oh, I see that part, but no, I've never seen A Christmas Story. I know, it's wild over here. It's so weird. That happens, he runs out, he's got a panic attack. We then jump to Stark Enterprises, where things have changed a bit. Pepper's still running the place, but now Happy is head of security. And he's showing off his badge, which I'm going to be honest with you, if I had a badge, I'd be doing the Happy. I'd be showing it off. I'd be showing it off.
Where's your badge? Where's your badge? I'm going to make this happen. I'm going to get you a badge.
If I'd have ever been a hall monitor, I never was, but if I'd have been a hall monitor, I'd have been the same way. Be like, where's your pass, brah?
Oh, no, no, no. Don't be that type.
I feel like I would have just a little bit. I feel like authority would have gone to my head a tad.
You're like the kid that gets bullied and then grows up to be a cop to then bully. You heard?
I mean, I wish I could argue against you, but I can't.
When we wrap up this podcast today, I want you to go take a good hard look in that mirror.
Oh, shit.
Time to do some soul searching, Lily.
I don't feel like I was a tattletale, but I just been like, hey, where's that pass?
Fucking narc.
I feel like come on.
Fucking, you would have narked me out for selling chocolate milk in 4th grade.
No, I'd have been your biggest buyer, don't you? Don't you act like anything different would have transpired other than me being like, hey, you got that chalk? Let me get that chalk.
What if they would have, like, found out about my operation and then they would have, like, gone to you to get to me? Like, you would have rolled over. You would have narked.
I wouldn't have.
They'd have put the screws to you. Like, tell you what, Leanne, you know, we want you to play ball here. What if we,
I went down with my friends.
Hey, what if we made you the hall monitor?
Nope, I have integrity.
Will you tell us who your supplier is?
No, I have integrity. Okay. I have integrity.
All right.
Yeah.
Put that to the test.
Yeah. No, I do. I do. I allowed my friend to cheat off of me in type class one time.
Okay.
And, he got in trouble for it, but then I stood up and I said, you know what? I let him. I did. I was a good friend.
So, like, so many conflicting emotions going on.
I did.
On right
I could have just left it alone. He was like, nah, I cheated, whatever. And I went, you know what? I tried to help him out. I let him, whatever. So whatever you do to him, you can do to me as well.
Wow.
Don't say I don't have integrity, okay? You can go fuck off with your accusations.
Whoa, all right.
Okay. Iron Man 3.
So Happy's got his badges out.
He's got his badges. Yeah. And he's got his big thing. I just love him so much. His big thing when he comes in is he wants to replace the janitorial staff with robots. Yeah. That's the one weak spot in the company.
My favorite little bit was when Pepper tells him that human resource complaints are up like 200%.
Yes. And he's like, that's a good thing.
I'm happy about that.
That's good.
Like, no, Happy, it's not.
Yeah. And he's upset because she's going to an uncleared meeting by him. He didn't clear this meeting. And so she goes to a meeting, and guess who it is? It is Aldrich.
Aldrich Killian.
Yes.
From Advanced Idea Mechanics.
He's handsome, no stutter.
Well, yeah.
His face doesn't have, he had like some face stuff going on, but no, he's all put together this
time. Got some conditioner for that hair.
He did, yeah.
Head and
cut
shoulders,
it up a bit.
Conditioner action going on.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Looking pretty sharp.
Yeah. And Happy recognizes who he is. Recognize him from back in the day. Tony did not after sending him a video. But Killian is in there pitching Extremis, which gives a live feed of the brain, correct? So you can put these things behind your ears and he throws out these little like dice looking thing.
Well, that was just more or less a program that kind of like showed the brain, like the Extremis is
because he was talking about how the brain was made to be upgraded,
right?
So he was showing off a picture of his brain to be upgraded, and he was like, what if we could totally reconstruct DNA? That's right. What Extremis is.
Yep.
And Pepper, being smart, goes, this seems like something that could be highly weaponized. We're not interested. We're not interested in partnering with you.
Mm-hmm.
She turns it down. Does that, do you think our minds can be upgraded? Do you think we'll have little cords back here? Little plug-ins?
No, because no
they don't
one
want
would,
us to be smart.
No one, yeah, well, right. There's that.
Mm-hmm.
Also, if you go to, I would say, 70 to 80% of Americans and say, hey, we want to put this thing that we're going to put it in like the back of your ear, the back of your brainstem. You're not even going to feel it, but it's going to give you regenerative capabilities. It's going to make you feel mm-hmm. better. It's going to make you stronger. I don't want government telling me what to do, you son of a bitch. I ain't going to wear no goddamn mask. I ain't have nothing in my brainstem. I'm out here in Arab, Alabama. Talk about fuck you.
Shout out. And I ain't getting no damn vaccine, so you can microchip me.
Right.
You fucking Dems.
And to be fair, that accent is like, it's the same way up north, too. That's
Isn't
how
that crazy?
Dumb fuckers sound up north.
I do. That's one thing that aggravates me, though. It's like, South isn't the only place that has idiots. Like, they're everywhere.
Right.
Like, can we just be fair on that?
Yeah.
Like, they're fucking everywhere.
Like, a North Dakota idiot is like, I ain't having no chip putting in my brain, don't you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And down here, we're like, you ain't doing it with me or my cousin or her baby.
Right.
That's the only difference,
yeah.
I feel like, maybe.
Yeah. Idiots everywhere.
Let me suck on a Pall Mall, but I ain't putting in a vaccine in my body.
Yeah. Everyone that, you know, ever gives Alabama shit from up north, I was like, really? Because, you know, North Dakota, South Dakota, Minnesota, y'all had the highest COVID infection rates anywhere on the fucking planet.
Really?
Anywhere.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Do some research, people. Iron Man 3.
Iron Man 3. So, Happy recognizes Killian, and he becomes suspicious of him. So he wants to kind of, he takes his plates, he tracks him. And
Happy very much an overachiever in his role as head of security.
He is. He's abandoned his janitor idea. Now he's on to this. And eventually Happy actually tracks him to the Chinese theater.
Which is an amazing place to be. You ever been?
No, I've never been to that or to that side of the country.
Never been to Cali?
No, I ain't never been to Cali.
It's awesome. It's an amazing theater. Robert Downey Jr.'s handprints are there. Robert Downey Jr., incredibly small hands.
He's shorter than you think, too.
He's super
short. He has to wear, like, heels
yeah.
and stuff.
All actors are short. Like,
they
so,
are.
So many of them are short. Like, when you get actors in a movie that look just big and gargantuan, mm-hmm. they're probably, like, my size and not that big, but then everyone around them is so small
right.
that you can't tell the difference.
It doesn't matter how tall he is or isn't, okay? It's Tony Stark.
It doesn't. Man, super talented. But RDJ's footprints and handprints are there, and my initial thought was, this is adorable. You can shop at the kids section because you're so tiny.
I'm going to need you to stop.
Also, David Bowie was there. Saw the stars on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Godzilla has a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. You can check out our review of Godzilla at HuntsvilleHomeVideo.com.
Oh, my gosh. There's another one. There's another throwback. Too bad this isn't Thor's Day because we're throwing it back.
Right. Yeah.
No, I would love to. I would love to travel and do things, but that requires money, and I've yet to come into some.
Oh, well, fair. Also accurate. And there's that whole pandemic thing.
And there's, yeah, and now everybody's dying.
But what, so, yeah, what,
so, you
whatevs.
Know, whatever.
Hashtag thin the herd.
Yeah. So Happy tracks this guy, or tracks, I guess, Killian's henchman
yep.
to the Chinese theater, and he hands off a briefcase to an unknown soldier. He's got some dog tags on, so he's a soldier. And he asks, the henchman asks the guy, can you regulate? And the guy's like, yeah, sure. So as the guy leaves, Happy actually bumps into him and drops his briefcase, which has these, were they vials of
yeah,
stuff?
Like, yeah,
like,
little
vials. And he happens to grab one, but then the henchman comes out. They have a bit of an altercation. The soldier takes a hit off of whatever this stuff is, cannot regulate, and he blows up the Chinese theater.
Big bada boom.
Big boom. Happy gets severely hurt, not a good thing. He ends up in a coma.
Thought for a minute.
The henchman died. You think that for a second. Yeah. And then before Happy completely passes out, he's grabbing at the dog tags. Those will come up later. And as Happy, before he passes out, the henchman starts to come out of the rubble. And he looks like he's got fire internally within him. And he kind of regenerates. And he goes back to normal and walks off.
What the fuck?
Extremis.
Yup.
Extremis. So then we get another terrorist video. And the Mandarin says that, oh my God, I loved this so much. He said, the fortune cookie, while it looks and sounds Chinese, it is actually an American invention, which is why they are hollow, tasteless, and full of lies. And I wrote, damn, that hurt, but Trudeau. That fucking, I didn't know that, by the way, and that fucking sucks. I mean, did that not, like, hurt you a little bit?
Hits you where you live.
It does. It hit me right where I fucking live.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Man, and this was what, 2013?
This was 2013.
Still applies.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes.
Greatly applies.
Here in 2021, yeah, we still are hollow, leave a bad taste in the mouth.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So no nutritional value whatsoever.
No. Nope, not at all. So he takes credit for the bombing of the Chinese theater. And so Tony Stark, who is now distraught over Happy being in a coma, hurt very badly. He is hounded by reporters coming out of the hospital. And he says that he will take on the mayor. He said, the Mandarin's already dead. I'm just going to come collect the body.
He gets asked by, like, all the reporters are obviously trying to ask their questions, but the one guy that he responds to was like, hey, man, when's somebody going to kill this guy?
Yeah.
Just saying.
Just a dope.
I'm like, I wanted to punch that fucking idiot in the head. I'm like, who are you?
Exactly.
You're someone's cousin. How'd you get in this movie? How do you know Shane Black? And why does Shane Black hang out with you?
Right.
Fuck you.
Right.
But then Tony being Tony, you know,
he goes overboard.
He's like, all right, motherfucker.
Mm-hmm.
I'm coming to your house. I'm going to blow your shit up. Here's my address.
Better yet, here's my address. Gives him his home address, says the door's going to be open for him and unlocked.
Come get that smoke.
He literally... that smoke.
Still don't know what that means.
So is it money or is it a fight? What is it? What is smoke?
I don't
know.
I'm going to be super white and I'm going to Google that shit.
Oh my gosh, Urban Dictionary. That's what it was made for. Us whites.
Us whites.
Us dumb whites who don't know shit.
Us non-Coke drinkers. yep.
Yeah, we got to know what it means. I think smoke is an altercation.
Yeah, so if you mess with me, you're going to get that smoke.
Okay.
So it means to get into a fight.
Right, because you're going to get hazy.
You're going to get hazy. This is the whitest thing we've ever done on Huntsville Home Video.
I'm super white. Like, I can't help it. Like, you know?
Like... underneath this part right now, when we cut the promo together, we gotta have Weird Al singing White and Nerdy.
It's me.
it's me. I'm white, though. I'm gonna get that smoke.
Like, I'm not that bad white, but I am a white.
You're not the bad white. You're off white.
I'm off white.
Yeah.
I'm just a tag bit eggshell. What do I call it? Bone? I'm just like, it's not pure white.
Well, we don't need to be talking about pure white on this podcast.
No, that's
a completely other podcast.
But I meant you know what I meant.
It's hazy.
Oh, shit.
Tony Stark want to get that smoke.
Tony Stark want to get that smoke. Are you okay?
Yep.
Oh, man. Okay. Oh,
apparently I got too much smoke.
Oh, too much. Got in them lungs.
Yeah. Got that pinamone.
Pinamone! What happened? I've never heard that in my life.
Shit.
Oh, man, what fun. Okay, so...
compose yourself, Foster. Jesus.
I've never heard pinamone, and it just hit me funny. Anyway, Iron Man, we're talking about Iron Man 3. I don't know if you know this podcast sponsored by Underboss Photography. What a great way to contribute to the world. So
very happy with their sponsorship, I hope.
I hope they are. are. You're in it now, buddy.
He does photography much better than we podcast.
Exactly. Exactly. Really. So he gives out his information, and Tony gets home after threatening a terrorist, and Jarvis has made up a profile on the Mandarin. And here's where things I had to rewind and rewatch again, so just bear with me if I explain this incorrectly.
Okay.
So, because I'm an idiot, but I finally got it. So they analyze bombings that are similar around the United States. Because, again, remember, we do not know, we don't have any bomb parts, and we don't know exactly what's happening with the explosions, but we know that they're happening at like 3,000 degrees. So they go and they analyze explosions that are similar to that, and they find one in Rose Hill, Tennessee.
Yep.
Which is 3,000 degrees. Also during this, they analyze the crime scene and they see the dog tags. Tony picks up on that. And at this Rose Hill bombing, there was a soldier involved. So that's how he connects the two.
Putting and some also, pieces together.
Yeah, of course, with Jarvis and his moving computer and all that fun stuff and that comic book science. So they decide to go to Rose Hill, Tennessee. But before they can do that, there's a ring at the doorbell, and it is Maya, the girl from 1999.
And I love how initially Tony's like, "You're not the Mandarin." He shows up at the front door in the Iron Man suit.
Are you the Mandarin? He shows up with the suit. Maya's there, and she was like, you got to get out of here. Meanwhile, Pepper's throwing her bags down because you've just threatened a terrorist. We need to get the F on out of here. And so when that's happening, here comes a missile right into the middle of the living room.
As
a terrorist would do.
Right.
So he actually, in this, like, this was super cool sequence where he throws the suit onto Pepper to keep her safe. And then once Pepper gets Maya outside of the, because the floor splits and Tony's stuck on the ocean side, on the cliff side. And so once Pepper is safe, he calls the suit back, but it's not combat ready. We have a little bit of a problem. It's just a prototype.
Yeah.
But he's taken out, he took out two of the helicopters and he's doing good, but he ends up, the house ends up splitting and falling and going into the water.
And Tony goes with it.
Goes with it. Looks like he's trapped. The henchman flies off in the last, I think, remaining helicopter. But luckily, he gets untrapped and he makes it out of the water. And he passes out in the suit. And when he wakes up, he crashes and he's 5 miles outside of Rose Hill, Tennessee.
Yeah, about 3,000 miles from where,
yes,
he needed to be.
Well, Jarvis prepared a flight plan.
Right.
Because that was his last command before we got the doorbell ring in the lab.
Yeah. Suit opens up with like 5% power left and then yes, it just clunks out. So mm-hmm, now Tony Stark forced to drag the Iron Man armor through an unseasonably cold winter in Tennessee.
Yeah. Drags it through the snow. He ends up stealing a poncho from a wooden Indian outside of a general store. And
that's a metaphor for what the white man has done to the Indian. Yeah,
yeah, that's what he do.
Since we're
carrying around his bag of metal inventions.
Yep.
Yep. So he treks through and he ends up finding like this little cabin, like a garage or something. He gets confronted by a kid named Harley, which is scary enough because it's a child. But he comes in with a potato gun, which was super cute. So I already liked Harley. I liked Harley.
You fuck around with a potato gun back in the day?
I mean, I didn't, but I wanted to. So I was jealous of Harley. At 30 years old, I was still jealous of Harley.
So you wanted to, but you didn't. Did your friends have potato guns?
And no,
you
just, like, none of us like had potato guns.
Okay.
No.
In Galesville? They didn't have potato guns in Galesville?
We did not, no.
Like, so what kind of shenanigans were y'all getting into? What were you making?
I mean, I played dress up with my Furby, so.
Did you rode bikes? Did you or your friends ever have butterfly knives? You don't know. Please tell me you know.
A butterfly knife?
You don't know what a butterfly knife is?
I don't know what a butterfly knife is. What are you talking about?
Oh, my Jesus. It's one of those knives. It the handle kind of like closes in on the blade, and then you flip the handle open, and the blade comes out, and you can flip it around. Like, you've never seen a butterfly knife?
No, I was supervised by adults. I don't know what you're talking about.
Holy shit. Go to any backwoods gas station in the South. You could probably buy a butterfly knife for $5.
I was living in Florida then, so hold on.
Even in Florida.
What was it called? A butterfly?
I think that's where the butterfly knife was invented in Florida.
That sounds understandable.
Yeah.
No, didn't have one.
Wow.
No. I remember getting a little bitty pocket knife and thinking I was some tough shit. But no, I didn't have a butterfly knife. I'm sorry.
Before we get Huntsville Home Video tracksuits, we're getting butterfly knives.
I'm all down for, I'm not a big knife person.
You're about to be.
Okay.
Like, all just right. Just look up videos of people flipping around butterfly knives.
I don't need that because I will injure myself being an idiot.
Get a plastic butterfly knife. I had a plastic butterfly knife when I was a child. That was my first butterfly knife.
Okay, so then you can't be all up in my grill, talking about a plastic knife. Okay? Oh, it was super cool. I had a butterfly knife. It was plastic. That doesn't count.
It's like a Fisher-Price butterfly knife, and then I got a real butterfly knife, because every kid in the 80s wanted a butterfly knife. I realize I'm like a decade older than you.
I wasn't alive then.
Maybe your generation missed out on the fucking greatness of a butterfly knife.
We did.
Jesus. Again, through this podcast, I am teaching you to live better through cinema, and I'm going to get you a butterfly knife. You can live better that way.
Jack, I will stab myself because I know myself. I won't stop fidgeting with it, and then I'm going to have a problem.
Well, like I said, we'll get
I'm on blood thinner. I will die.
We'll get you the plastic butterfly knife. You're like my first butterfly knife.
My first butterfly knife.
Yeah.
Okay.
Man, I'm so glad I grew up in my generation and not
No,
your
I
generation.
Wish I was older. I truly wish I was older because I would have had more fun.
Man, you're damn right. You would have had a butterfly knife. We could have talked about that. We could have gone to like butterfly knife conventions, flipped around some knives and shit, shown our wrist work.
Yeah.
Damn.
Hmm.
Just.
Sorry we missed out on that, buddy.
I am too.
I mean, I was in a good part of the 90s, but I didn't hit the 80s.
Next time we get a gun convention that comes to town, let's go, because I know they're going to have some butterfly knives.
You think so?
I know so. In fact, the last gun show that I went to, I oohed and aahed over the butterfly knife selection more than I did the gun selection.
Yeah, they do have gun and knife show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. We'll go. Let's get tickets.
I cannot believe that you tagged the Spider-Man theme song reference, but you don't know what a butterfly knife is.
I mean, I've never heard of anything called a butterfly knife. Maybe I'll look at it and go,
You go, like, if you go to where, so here outside of Huntsville, we're getting this big, huge, mega truck stop Buc-ee's.
We are?
Yeah.
I have no idea what's going on.
Way to keep your thumb on the pulse of what's happening in your community, Foster.
I'm letting you bleed out. I don't fucking know.
If you go to these truck stops that are along, you know, like the highways and byways of America.
Yeah, I hit those a lot.
Yeah, I can tell. So
are you calling me a lot lizard? Is that what you're doing?
Maybe. No, because if you were, you would definitely know what the fuck a butterfly knife is.
That's what I'd be using to protect myself.
Right.
In between flap flaps.
Yep. Motherfucker don't want to pay. They get the flap flap. They get the stab stab.
Flap flap, stabby stabby.
You go to those truck stops. You get the t-shirts with the wolves howling at the moon.
Honest to God, I've always wanted one.
Right next to those displays, butterfly knives.
No shit.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to a truck stop.
Okay.
I've never said that to anyone else in my life, and I hope to God I never say it again.
Yeah.
Anyways, let's go back to Iron Man 3, shall we?
All right, butterfly knives were great. Iron Man 3.
Man, I'm really sorry. I didn't know that was going to be a thing.
That's all right.
So anyways, Harley is the kid who comes in, and that's his little workspace. He's got, like, his own little workspace where he works on stuff, and I think he even made the little potato gun, or he had worked on it or whatever. And he informs Tony that everyone thinks he's dead. That's what's in the papers. And then he gives a little bit of information on the bombing of, I believe his name was Chad, the soldier.
Yeah.
He made like a suicide bomb. He just kind of came back and he was fine. And then they say he went a little crazy and he made a suicide bomb. And so Tony goes to look at the site. And then he also goes to meet with the soldier's mother at the bar, which is where she hangs out all the time.
Yep.
Tony goes in to talk to her and she hands over his file like she was supposed to meet him there. But Tony actually is interrupting a different kind of meeting. Somebody else was supposed to meet with her.
Yeah, Agent Brandt shows up instead.
Uh-huh. And from Homeland Security, and she is one of them. She's got extremists.
She is one of them.
She's one of them.
The old small town sheriff shows up and he's like, hey, what the hell's going on here? It's like, oh, it's above your pay grade and you need to get out of here. And, you know, being a small town sheriff, of course, like pride gets in his way. And he's like, ah, fuck you, dame.
Fuck you, you broad.
Yeah.
You can't just walk in here off the streets being a woman and all. And so, yeah, she obliterates a lot of people. Tony gets handcuffed, but he eventually gets away. He's running away with jumping through windows and shit. Very hot. Very manly. Liked it. And he ends up getting Chad the Soldier's file through all that mess. And he gets away from them. Also, the henchman is there. I think that was him. He melted the water tower.
Yeah, that was Savin.
Mm-hmm. Tony gets stuck, but he actually ends up blowing a hole through, because they're hard to beat, because they regenerate. But he ends up blowing a hole through him, and I think that's what kills him. That's
got,
what ends
he got
up.
Himself a little makeshift arc reactor. He still recovers from that.
Yeah.
He bounces back, but
at least
it stops him for a while.
A good bit. It stuns him for a while.
Let's Tony and Harley get away.
Yes, they got away. Also, I think we cut back to Pepper during this, and Pepper finally gets the message from Tony. He'd left her a message saying that he was actually alive. And Pepper and Maya are talking about things, and Maya says that she thinks her boss is the one working for the Mandarin.
Mm-hmm.
And
the plot thickens.
It thickens, and then it thickens even more because you find out her boss is Aldrich Killian.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, Aldrich or Aldrich?
Aldrich.
Aldrich. Sorry. Apologize.
As well you
Language
should.
Language is hard.
So, how dare you fuck up a fictional character's name?
I know. And so kind of in this point, you also kind of see where it looks like the videos that the Mandarin is putting out is happening in Aldrich's home. Or his bad man lair.
His bad man lair.
Everybody got to have a lair.
I guarantee you, if you watch that again, you're going to find butterfly knives aplenty.
Probably so.
Mm-hmm.
I apologize for not knowing.
That's all right. We're educating you.
That's right. That's the whole point of this podcast.
Yep, I am a teacher. I'm here to tell you about the butterfly knife.
Some people may call you a terrorist. Me. So, while this has happened, we actually have another video that comes through, another unauthorized broadcast, and the Mandarin has a man tied up on the floor by the name of Thomas, who is an employee for a huge oil company, and he's going to get a bullet in his head in 30 seconds if the president doesn't call the Mandarin. Somehow, the president has the Mandarin's number in his phone.
Mm-hmm. Also, the dude is from the Roxxon Oil Company, which is a huge Marvel Comics organization.
Oh, it was the same. Okay. Roxxon's going to show up later again.
Mm-hmm.
So the president calls him, finds the number in his phone, but the Mandarin shoots the guy anyway.
Pop, pop.
Pop, pop. And he threatens that he will see the president very soon. Very scary. Still scary. Still, the Mandarin's scary.
Still creepy. Also, I loved, there was a scene, I believe this happened after the big kerfuffle with all the Extremis agents, and when Tony Stark is getting in the car to take off, and he's chatting with Harley.
It's a super good scene.
I fucking love this scene, where he's, you know, the kid's like, hey, like, aren't
you going to take me with you?
Like, I thought we were connecting.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, no, I'm not going to take you with me. I don't even like you, kid.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah. That's how I'd treat a kid.
Yeah. And he acts like he's cold and stuff.
He's like,
and
let me in. I'm cold.
Tony was like, are you cold? You know how I know that? Because we're connected.
And then
drives off.
Fuck you, kid.
That was super good. Yeah. Yeah, that's how I want to be with children.
You're right. Yeah.
And even though Tony likes him, like he's a good kid, it's like, still fuck you.
Yeah, you know? You got to keep him at a distance.
Right.
You got to let the kid know.
Got to keep him on their toes.
That's right.
Because the world ain't going to be nice to them when they get up out of age. You know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
Yep. So then we jump ahead. The broadcast happens, and they think it's coming from Pakistan. So they send the Iron Patriot, a.k.a. War Machine, or War Machine, a.k.a. Iron Patriot,
right,
to Pakistan. Meanwhile, I guess this is how Tony puts this together. On the soldier's file that he took, it had MIA on it. But it was actually backwards. When you flip it over, it has AIM, which is AIM, which is the company that Killian has.
Mm-hmm. Another huge organization from the comics.
Okay. So he actually calls War Machine, calls Rhodes while he's in Pakistan or wherever he's at. And is the idea here correct? He wants to get his password so that he can hack into the Iron Patriot because the Iron Patriot's rebrand was done by AIM.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to hack into AIM through Iron Patriot?
Correct.
Okay, awesome. Cool. So he ends up going to, we have to mention this because he goes to the Chattanooga, Miss Chattanooga pageant. We have to mention it because guess who's a judge? It's our Stan Lee cameo.
Oh, Stan.
I feel like Stan would really be a judge in a pageant like that.
Oh, yeah.
Right? For sure.
Like, every time he shows up, man, a dude just brings a smile to my face. Mm-hmm. Like, I miss Stan Lee.
Even though I don't have the comic background, he still warms my heart. I feel like almost just the same.
Man, like if you...
Or similar.
After you've watched your YouTube butterfly knife videos, go watch some Stan Lee videos of like him and just interviews and stuff. Mm-hmm. And like he is the perfect representative for Marvel Comics.
Okay.
You know, like forget all the bullshit about, you know, there are people out there, well, Stan Lee didn't really create anything. It was Jack Kirby. It was blah, blah, blah. Forget that argument. Like, Stan Lee had such a passion for this shit.
Right.
And he connected with people in such a great way that you're just like, oh my God, this is my grandpa telling me about Spider-Man, and this is the fucking greatest thing ever. And that man will always bring a smile to my face.
That's awesome.
And yeah, him judging, you know, just random scantily clad women on stage. I'm like, yeah, if Stan were with us today, he'd be down.
He'd totally do that.
Yeah.
So good. So Tony actually stops there at the pageant because he gets in a news truck. He needs some power in order to do this hacking, if I'm understanding it correctly. And he runs into the news guy's a super fan. And he's like mumbling and going on. And that's exactly how you would be with Captain America.
Correct.
A little bit.
Yep.
And, you know, but Tony, like, gets him together. He's like, look, we're on a mission. I need you to go do this. I need you to help me with this, blah, blah, blah. So he hacks into AIM, and he sees these videos of soldiers who have lost limbs or been injured in service, and that's who Extremis is being used on or being experimented on. They're kind of used in these experiments. And they... when they're injected or however this works, it like regrows their limbs or things, but there's also a bad side to it. And just like we saw in the beginning of the movie, they can blow up if they cannot regulate.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty big, pretty big misfire.
So that's where our bombs are coming from.
That's where the bombs are coming from. They're coming from people. And with this degree of heat, they evaporate essentially.
Yeah.
Because it's so hot. They're just, their bodies are gone. So you can't even tell that they're the ones that are blowing up.
I guess straight up burninated.
Okay, I'm not going to say anything. So Jarvis is able to figure out that the Mandarin videos are coming from Miami. So Tony has to go down to Miami. He heads down there, but not before he builds. He has a panic attack at some point. He's talking to Harley, and Harley's like, if you don't have a suit, because he has to leave his suit with Harley because it won't take a charge.
Right.
We've got a problem with the suit.
Not powered up yet.
Not powered up yet. So Harley goes, well, just build another one. You're the mechanic. Build another one. So Tony gets his shit together. He gets over his panic attack, and he goes into, like, you know, a hardware store, and he builds this electrified glove, which was amazing, and he makes bombs out of Christmas ornaments, which Martha Stewart would be so proud. That was right. So cute. So he gets to Miami. He breaks into the bad guy lair. He's throwing Christmas ornament bombs, and he's electrocuting people with his glove, which was super cool. So he finds the Mandarin. He gets down into the mansion, and he finds the Mandarin.
Here we go.
I was not expecting this at all.
Never see it coming.
No. The Mandarin is a joke. He's an actor. The Mandarin isn't real.
He's a false front.
He's a bumbling British idiot. I was shook, as the kids say. You got smoke, I got shook.
Watching that in the theater.
Yeah, how did that go with you?
There was dead silence.
Uh-huh.
And then a couple, like, murmurs and a couple what the fucks.
Uh-huh.
And then occasional spurts of laughter.
Uh-huh.
And then the movie went on.
Okay.
Like, everyone was so dumbfounded by that initially.
Mm-hmm.
I was dumbfounded by that
That's
initially.
That's gotta be a big shock coming from the comics.
like completely not what the comics were.
Right.
You know, like here we are all this time expecting we were going to get Ben Kingsley as the Mandarin. And up until that point, he was fucking awesome.
Uh-huh.
Like had he and Tony actually had the chance to face off, had the Ten Rings actually become to existence and you see him with them, that would have been fucking amazing.
Okay.
And then I felt kind of robbed.
You felt robbed?
I did.
Okay.
I did feel a little robbed.
Me not coming from the comics, I thought it was brilliant.
All right.
I thought it was awesome. The explanation for it about needing a front, needing a face, needing a villain for them to go after and direct their attention, I thought it was fucking brilliant.
So here
now... But again,
now,
I don't have your history, so I...
But now, so here now, we will deviate a little bit from our path of discussion, as we often do.
Right.
Remember how I told you there were these Marvel one-shots that they started attaching to the DVD releases?
Yes.
So they eventually released a Marvel one-shot, I think it was called Hail to the King, where it follows up on Trevor, a.k.a. Fake Mandarin, after he goes to prison, where he is visited by a real representative of the Mandarin. So the Mandarin is still real and still out there. In fact, it was announced that in phase 4 of the MCU, they're making a Shang-Chi, the Master of Kung Fu movie, wherein the villain will be the fucking Mandarin, like the proper Mandarin with the Ten Rings.
Do you think they did that because there was backlash against this scene? Or was that always the plan?
No, well, see, I don't know. Because at this point in the MCU, I think they were still making up a lot as they went along.
Right, okay.
They didn't really have that clear plan laid out yet. I don't really think they got that until like halfway through phase 2. Like after Age of Ultron came out, they're like, okay, here's our, well, for lack of a better term, our end game. This is how we're going to go about it. And they, you know, they kind of put everything into, like, for the most part, like a singular narrative, even though they broke it up into, you know, other individual movies. So I don't necessarily think that was their grand plan.
Okay.
But it is going to be cool to see a proper Mandarin, even though I would have loved Ben Kingsley to have just been the Mandarin.
He was so good in the little videos of him acting as the Mandarin. So I can see how you would feel robbed that that wasn't a real villain.
And that was there. That was the reason for a lot of backlash to this particular movie.
Okay.
Like a lot of people say, oh, Iron Man 3 was the worst one. I disagree. I liked Iron Man 3 more than I liked Iron Man 2.
Okay.
And over time, I have come to make peace with that twist.
Mm-hmm. I think this one's my favorite.
Of the three?
Of the three.
Wow, okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to beat the first one.
Shane Black delivers the goods.
I really liked it.
All right.
Yeah. Of course, I didn't have a... No, I totally see where people felt robbed on that one, for sure.
It was, it was... It just felt like an unnecessary twist.
Okay.
And to be fair, there was a lot going on in this movie. There's a lot of different...
There is a lot.
You know, subplots and everything. And I know they got this one going quick after, you know, after Avengers came out. Got to capitalize on that billion-dollar movie. You know, you got to get another billion-dollar movie out there. And they did that with this one.
Right,
so.
Right.
But yeah, overall, over time, I have made peace with that twist. And rewatching the movie last night before we reviewed it today, I was like, all right, I'm okay with it.
Okay. All right.
I'm all right with it.
I get it. I fully accepted it, but I get where you're coming from.
And then, like I said, too, after the fact, when they did that Marvel one-shot where, you know, they acknowledge that there is a Mandarin, a real Mandarin still out there, I'm like, okay, all right.
I'll allow it.
Yeah, you get it. All right.
So this guy, Trevor, was on Hard Times, drug addicted, and he got hired for this role. But, he thinks it's just playtime. He thinks he's just doing this fun little production. He doesn't realize that people are getting hurt, or at least that's what he says. He doesn't realize how big of a threat this is because he's literally nodding off as he's talking. So he doesn't understand. But while they are having this exchange, Tony ends up getting got. And he gets down into a dungeon or lab or whatever it is, and he gets tied up, which was also hot.
That did it for you?
I mean, it was hot. So he's tied up and
wait, is that why you just brought I saw you come in with zip ties. What's going on here?
nothing.
Don't worry.
Nope. Nothing to worry about. Anyways, Iron Man 3.
Your Tinder date's in for some swine apple tonight.
Which, by the way, Rachel texted me and said she would make some for me. So whatever that needs to happen, let's have that happen. So he's tied up. Maya's in there talking to him. Basically, she started out pure, but she's gotten herself into some stuff with Killian. Killian comes in and shows
Killy. Call him Killy.
Killy. Hey, Killy. And he shows up and he shows Tony a video of Pepper, who is now getting extremis.
Yeah,
she's fighting it, but she's getting infected, or however they put that in you.
Yeah, they kidnapped her earlier, and then they got her tied up, and they got Rhodes captured as well. They tricked him in that little raid. They had some extremis agents capture him. So, Killian's about to put his master plan into effect.
Yeah. They get Rhodes out of the suit by melting, because they transmit heat, so they melt him out of the suit. Killian breathes fire. Yeah. That was fucking awesome. Rhodes was like, oh, we breathe fire now? Right. Like, he was done. I was like, that's a good call.
That's a good reaction to that. Yeah.
That's a good reaction. Rhodes makes it out, and Tony's suit, while he's tied up, actually, his little Dora the Explorer watch that he got from Harley and his sister goes off, which means that the Iron Man suit is fully charged. And so he acts like he's trying to get out of the zip ties, but really what he's doing is calling his suit, correct?
Yep.
And he calls it from Chattanooga. It flies in, and he wreaks havoc.
It takes a minute for the suit to show up. These henchmen are just like, what are you
right.
doing?
Because he's doing like he's doing a magic trick, and right. he keeps counting down like he's whatever. And he was like, how many miles is it to Chattanooga? And the one guy knew it was exactly like 832 miles or whatever it was.
Like, I'm good with this stuff.
Yeah. And he just keeps on, and he finally gets the suit. It comes in. He gets rid of the agents. Tony and Rhodes end up together. They find Trevor, and Trevor reveals what the plan is. Basically, they're going to use the Iron Patriot as a Trojan horse. Tony and Rhodes call the vice president to tell him what the plan is. Mm-hmm. The Iron Patriot's going to be used as a Trojan horse. They're going to get to the president. You need to get yourself safe. The president says, got it. I will let him know. Closes the phone. Does not let the president know. And you see in his family Christmas photo that his daughter, or whoever she is missing a limb.
Oh, they're going to put some extremis in her.
I believe somebody is in on the plot.
So wait, you're here to tell me that a politician would put American people at harm for their own self-interests?
I know it's a wild thought.
I mean, movies. They do such crazy things.
That's where we can all be outlandish.
So unbelievable.
I know. It's ridiculous. God. That's why they call it cinema.
Fucking hate politicians. Every one of them.
But yeah, that happened in the movie, and that happens in real life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Why can't we get more comic book superheroes in real life?
Right.
Less politicians in real life.
I feel like there's an Iron Man suit sitting around that we haven't used yet.
I'm sure there is.
You know?
I'm sure it's sitting in some billionaire military industrial fucking compound just waiting,
buying up technology so that nobody else can use it.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, we do that shit.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Anyways, Iron Man 3.
sorry to
see downhill disaster.
Man,
we went dark.
Well, here we are talking a little. We do like to provide a little escapism, you know, a little happiness in these troubled times,
but we bring you back,
then we bring you right back to reality.
Like we established very early on in this podcast, we don't keep you happy for long.
That's right,
we don't.
We sure don't.
So there is this really cool sequence where the War Machine Iron Patriot gets on the Air Force One, gets on the plane, kidnaps the president. Tony gets there a little bit too late, but he saves all of the people that are on the plane. They all fall out of the plane, and he gets them monkeys in a barrel style. And one grabs onto another. He can only carry four, but everybody grabs onto each other, and he saves them all before they hit the water.
That was a super rad.
That was an awesome sequence.
Yeah.
But while he's gloating a little bit, he ends up getting hit by a truck. Honk, honk, motherfucker. Honk, honk.
Suit shatters. Tony isn't even in it.
Nope.
What the hell?
So the president is delivered to Killian aboard the Roxxon Narco ship. Big ship. Big ship. And it actually is one that spilled oil off the coast of Pensacola. And Killian is explaining to the president that while the president was president, even though that oil spill happened, none of the big cats, fat cats, got any time for it or got any reprimands for it at all. And the president goes, what do you want? And Killian's like, I'm just nothing. I'm just trying to get a story together. That's going to be the excuse of why you get killed.
Right.
Basically, because he's found a political patron who's going to take office as soon as the president dies, a.k.a. the vice president.
Which, how many times do you think that actually happens in real life?
It hurt. Like, it's like the whole fortune cookie thing. Like, yeah. We're tasteless and we're shitty. It kept on stabbing me throughout this movie.
Right?
Little needles were like, ah. Little reality needles were like, ah.
Yeah, little reality needles.
It hurt.
It's almost like you got stabbed by a butterfly knife of reality.
Right? Just kept flip-flopping around. Boom.
And then stab, stab, stab.
Stab, stab, stab.
Your country's fucked.
So Tony and Rhodes make it to the Norco to see the president, who's now in War Machine suit, and he's strung up on wires above everything. And they have to infiltrate and rescue, and they don't have suits right now. War Machine's on the president, and Tony doesn't have his suit because it got hit by the truck. And they have guns, though. And did this feel like Kiss Kiss Bang Bang to you?
A little, yeah.
Yeah.
Our very first movie review at HuntsvilleHomeVideo.com.
Yeah. They are, you know, Tony's like trying to shoot things, and he's like, you can't shoot. I wasn't trying to shoot the guy. I was trying to shoot the bulb. You can't shoot a bulb from here. And Rhodes just pops up and shoots it, like just totally owns Tony. So I felt like their dialogue was very kind of like an ode to that, or maybe I just was looking for that similarity. I don't know.
It definitely felt a little bit like that. And then when Tony's like, hey, give me another clip. And he's like, I don't have a clip for that gun. He's like, what? They're not universal.
Right.
He's like, I should know. I make these things.
He's just kind of the bumbling dummy that he was in Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
Right,
for like that one sequence, you know, part, you know. So they're doing that. They need armor. Tony then calls all of the suits that we thought were bombed at the beginning of the movie.
Activates the house party initiative.
Yes. And all these suits come in from the lab, and Tony says, take them to church. And that's what.
Oh, that was so fucking cool.
Was that not good? Take them to church.
Watching that for the first time in the theaters, like I was still a bit salty over the Mandarin
twist. I can see that.
But then as soon as he said, take them to church, and all those suits just started wrecking house, I'm like, all right, we're cool again.
Yeah.
We're cool.
We're back on.
All right, Tony Stark, you the man. Cap is still better, but whatever. Tony!
Would you say Captain America is second?
I mean
Iron Man is second?
In my realm.
What would be your rank?
Are we talking cinematically or comic books?
Cinematically.
Well, Captain America, obviously number one.
Right. But how would they fall? Like, what's your top? Would we have five? What's your top five?
I would probably put, I'd probably put Iron Man second.
Would you do Black Widow just because
girl? As we have yet to see the Black Widow movie.
Oh, okay.
I just mean
the characters, not the movies.
Oh, I gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
I thought we were talking movies.
No, I'm sorry. I know Captain America's your boy.
Yeah, Cap
is gonna be number one.
Cap is number one. I would put Black Widow number two.
Okay.
I really wish we would have got more with her.
Right.
You know, like we said, we got the movie coming out, hopefully, fingers crossed, in May. This movie's been delayed for like a year.
Mm-hmm.
And the movie is still at least 6 years too late, in my opinion. They should have done that as part of phase two. But whatever. I digress. I think she could have had a lot of cool shit. In fact, all the characters that kind of tie in with Captain America, Cap, Black Widow, Falcon, who you'll be introduced to very, very soon.
Mm-hmm.
Like Nick Fury, those kind of characters, like S.H.I.E.L.D., stuff like that. I really like that genre, that era, which is why I'm really looking forward to the Falcon and Winter Soldier TV show, which is coming to Disney+. So I would put I'd put Iron Man up there. He's definitely like top five.
Okay. I didn't know if he was under Captain America or what.
Yeah.
But your love for Scarlett Johansson trumps all that.
Even if Scarlett Johansson wasn't the Black Widow, I'd still love the Black Widow.
Okay.
Like, she's a great character.
Okay.
I just think she's awesome.
Okay.
And like, both cinematically and in the comic books. So.
Okay. I don't know much about Black Widow. I don't really even know. I don't know much about her.
Well, in Captain America Winter Soldier.
One day I will.
You will. Perfect. Next week, as a matter of fact.
Oh, exciting. So he calls in the suits. They start taking him to church. Rhodes does this awesome save of the president. He knocks out a wire and he grabs onto the president. He swings above the fire. And then he gets his War Machine Iron Patriot suit back. That was a super cool sequence of him swinging around. Gets his suit back. Tony tries to rescue Pepper. He and Killian have a little interaction, but then later there's an explosion and Pepper ends up on this. She's stuck on something and he tries to reach out to her. And he was like, "You're going to have to jump and I will catch you." Pepper ends up falling off and Tony does not catch her. Pepper falls into flames.
How did that make you feel?
It was a messed up moment, but I was like, I know something's going to happen because I've seen her later.
Okay.
I was like, I had that. Otherwise, I wouldn't have known.
When that happened, I was like, eh.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I'm a girl and I love Pepper and Tony together. So
that's fair.
That's where I'm at on that. That's my little Lifetime moment.
Okay.
I don't watch Lifetime, but that's my Lifetime moment. So she falls. Tony doesn't catch her. And Killian shows up and says, "Shame, I would have caught her." That's the nail in the coffin.
Just,
that was it.
Just sticking that butterfly knife in and breaking it off.
Oh, man, what a dick move. So Tony gets a suit. They fight. They have a super cool fight, you know, because they can melt the suits. And it's like, it's a mess. So he calls in different suits. He'll, like, he gets into stuck in a point and he'll, like, eject out of the suit and into another one.
Which was so fucking rad.
That was really cool.
Like, Tony Stark just playing Frogger between Iron Man suits. Mm-hmm. I'm like, that was fucking dope.
That was neat. Yeah. Yeah. I loved that. And he ejects out and then all looks lost for Tony again. Like usually happens in the movies, it looks like he's having some problems. And I think it's Mark 42 that shows up, right?
Yep.
And it crashes, and then you think, oh shit, oh no, we've got a problem. But then Tony reassembles the suit onto Killian and, like, blows him up.
Tells Jarvis to blow up Mark 42.
Yes, he does. But then Killian survives, of course, as he does. And he says he's walking up to Tony and it doesn't look good again. And he basically says, "If you want the Mandarin, you found him. I'm the Mandarin," or something like that. And then bam, Pepper comes out of nowhere with that heat looking extremis shit in her and knocks the fucking shit out of Killian and ends up killing that mofo.
Just wrecked him.
Wrecked him. Wrecked him. That was super cool. Wasn't expecting that.
All right.
Yeah. So she kills Killian. Tony survived. She survived. She's worried, but Tony's going to fix her and make her better. Going to get rid of that extremis shit out of her. And then he does the clean slate protocol and he blows up all the suits. No more distractions. They're going to have a good Christmas.
Aww.
That was sweet. Again, my little Lifetime moment. had a little girl moment. So then we kind of start to wrap up everybody's story. The vice president gets arrested. And Tony's talking about how you start out pure, but then you start to make mistakes and you create your demons. And that was kind of the theme of the whole movie. He fixes Pepper. He also fixes himself. He has his shrapnel taken out.
Yeah.
And then so he and then later you see him throw the arc reactor into the ocean. So he doesn't need an arc reactor anymore.
Does not.
He doesn't. He doesn't need an electromagnet.
No.
Holy shit, I didn't see that coming. Didn't know that was a thing. So he throws out the arc reactor, but not before he rescues Dummy. Right? Yeah, when that dummy on the...
He takes
dummy.
the little crane AI yep. out of yep. his office. Yeah.
Takes him out of his office. Harley comes home to his little lab, and he's got, like, a mini lab set up.
All the upgrades. Courtesy of his buddy, the mechanic.
Yes, and he's got labeled on the thing, Potato Gun Mark One, which was super cute.
So I'm going to, I'm not going to directly spoil anything, but I am going to tell you this. I told you this in Iron Man 1, the proof that Tony Stark has a heart thing. Mm-hmm. I told you to remember that because it's going to break your heart one day.
Yeah.
So we don't see Harley again. I take that back. We see Harley one more time in
the MCU. I wondered
if
Harley was going to be somebody.
We do see him one more time, and it will also break your heart.
Oh, damn it.
Like, there will be tears.
Okay.
Like, no bullshit.
I am a crier.
I am too.
Okay.
Like, yeah.
Okay.
Several points during the MCU, I have shed fucking blubbering idiot tears.
Okay.
Just.
Oh, those like, cries are
like
the worst.
That. Like that.
That sucks.
I had the first time I saw Endgame, I cried like that, and I told people about it, and they laughed at me, and then I went to Endgame with them, and they cried like that, mm-hmm. and I was like, mm-hmm.
I lost it in Infinity War, and I didn't really understand
any of
the characters.
And you didn't even know who anyone was.
I didn't know who any of them were, but I lost it at the end of Infinity War.
Man, Endgame is going to fuck
so
you up.
Me watching it again is going to really fuck me up.
Now that you'll know who everyone is, man.
Yeah.
But yeah, we kind of wrap up Iron Man 3.
That's the end of the movie, but of course there's one little bit of tasty morsel left.
We got the end credit stinger. We've been trained at this point
to
sit through the movie.
Right.
And we do, and we kind of got nothing.
Well, yeah, I was surprised. It didn't really go anywhere. It was cute. It was Robert Downey Jr. It was Tony Stark talking about the story of the movie and all that stuff, kind of where he was at, where he was kind of narrating. And he's thanking this guy for being a good listener. And it's Banner. It's Bruce Banner, who's asleep on the couch listening to Tony Stark. Didn't hear any of it. Fell asleep at the beginning of the story, and he says, "I'm not a therapist. This is not the kind of doctor I am." And then that was the end.
Don't have the temperament for it,
right? And then that we close on Science Bros,
which you know, like you said, it was cute, but after
Thanos,
right,
which was where that was the last one we left off at the end of Avengers, and then we got nothing
right.
on Iron Man. Like now, you expect there should be something to move forward with.
Yeah, there were some collective groans in the theater. Like, oh, man, I wanted some fucking...
Understandable, because I was there. I was there on that one. Yeah.
But at least you didn't have to wait a year for the next movie.
Nope, I didn't. Only a couple of days.
So overall, Iron Man 3?
Love it.
I'll give it 3 arc reactors out of 5.
I'm going to give it 4 arc reactors out of 5.
Very well done.
4.5. I'm going to give it four and a half.
Four and a half. Wow.
Yeah.
Man,
I really liked it. I was good with it.
All right,
I was happy with it.
I'm glad you enjoyed. I'm
yeah.
glad Phase 2 is off and running because spoilers, Thor: The Dark World sucks. So
okay, according to me. Uh-huh.
So we'll have to we'll see how well that one goes. In fact, as much as people kind of rag on Iron Man 3, I think collectively the Dark World is heralded as the shittiest of the Marvel movies.
Really?
Not to kind of lower your expectations before you go into this movie.
Okay.
But as we discussed during Marvel Month Phase 2, we will be discussing that. We won't make you wait till Monday.
No.
For another review. No, we're going to give it to you on Thursday. On Thursday.
I love it.
I can't wait until you're around the office and you're telling someone about something that happens on Thursday and you accidentally say Thursday.
It's going to happen.
Yeah.
And honestly, I can't wait for it either, to be honest. If we're going to be real about it. Now it's officially Thursday.
It is officially Thursday. And go ahead.
No, I need a Thor shirt, or I need like a hammer to just carry around with me.
Every Thursday?
On Thursday.
Okay.
Like Thursday is dedicated to Thor, even though he's not my favorite. Like that's what I need.
But he'll get his day?
He'll get his day because it just rhymes so well.
All right.
You can't help it. If it's a good rhyme, it's a good rhyme.
It's Thor's
but day. I'm all for a theme. Love a theme.
And there are many different eras of Thor that you can do.
I mean,
you can do the cinematic Thor.
Mm-hmm.
You can do Viking Thor. You can do, you know, unworthy Thor.
Mm.
There's so many. You can do Donald Blake Thor. So many.
Okay.
So many.
Well, I only know the cinematic one right now. So
well, I'll help
baby
you.
Steps.
I'll help you out. So we will be back on Thursday of this week to review Thor. Thursday. We'll be back on Thursday to review Thor: The Dark World. And then, like I said, we're going to be doing a couple episodes a week for this month. We'll see how things work out. Maybe we'll keep doing it.
Okay.
I don't know.
Who knows?
Yeah.
We'll work overtime for you.
That's right.
Because
we got nothing else going on.
No, we do not.
This is our only distraction from all the bullshit that we occasionally rant about
right.
when we're not talking about fine feature films that my good friend Leanne has never seen.
Exactly.
So we're going to wrap today up. I really think I'm going to go find you a butterfly knife.
Okay.
because I'm upset by this.
Plastic. We need plastic.
I'll get you a plastic.
I don't want to get hurt.
I'm gonna hit eBay after this. So thank you as always for listening. Make sure to follow us on the social meds, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram at
HSV Home Video.
And also follow our sponsor, Underboss Photography, an amazing, amazing photographer located right here in Huntsville. He's got amazing landscape prints. He's got pictures of the Space and Rocket Center here in Huntsville, Alabama, which is an awesome facility. If you want to have those images and prints put on anything, you can have them shipped worldwide. Huntsville and the surrounding area, a very picturesque part of the world.
It really is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you can have some of those images captured forever in your home, courtesy of Underboss Photography. So go check them out on the social meds as well. And it's not, like I said, it's not even going to be a week until we talk to you again, but between now and Thursday, be kind and rewind.